Praised be Jesus and Mary. Today is the first Friday of the month, therefore it's a day of reparation to our Lord's Sacred Heart. It's our Lord himself who asks for reparation. And how do we offer him reparation? Well, by making a good confession today, by resolving again not to offend him ever again, by being more like his Sacred Heart, by uniting our wills to his, by receiving Holy Communion well according to his intentions, to please our Lord, you know, to show him that love which he doesn't receive from most of humanity. We make reparation to our Lord in this way. And this First Friday is not just any First Friday, it's the first Friday of the month of May. And why is this special? Well, because Our Lady has a special role in our devotion to the Sacred Heart. So today we'll quickly just look at that role of Our Lady in the devotion to the Sacred Heart. And we'll look at two texts, two brief texts. One is the encyclical of Pope Pius XII, who wrote a fundamental, really, encyclical on devotion to the Sacred Heart. Audietis aquas, you know, you will draw waters from the founts of salvation, founts of salvation. And then just a little booklet of meditations and catechism on devotion to the Sacred Heart by a certain brother Philip, a brother of the Christian schools. He used to put out a lot of these good little booklets, you know, catechism and meditations for the faithful. So first, Pope Pius XII says, "In order that favors in greater abundance may flow on all Christians, on the whole human race, from the devotion to the most Sacred Heart of Jesus, let the faithful see to it that to this devotion to the Immaculate the Immaculate Heart of the Mother of God is closely united. For by God's will, in carrying out the work of human redemption, the Blessed Virgin Mary was inseparably linked with Christ in such a manner that our salvation sprang from the love of and the sufferings of Jesus Christ, to which the love and sorrows of his mother were intimately united. Through divine disposition, human redemption, our redemption, is inseparably linked with the Blessed Virgin Mary. The redemption, you know, the Redeemer is inseparably linked with the co-redemptrix, so that our salvation sprang from the love and the sufferings of Jesus Christ, to which the love and the sorrows of his mother were intimately united. Therefore, it is entirely fitting that the Christian people who received the divine life from Christ through Mary, after they have paid their debt of honor to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, should also offer to the most loving heart of their Heavenly Mother the corresponding acts of piety, affection, gratitude, and expiation." And if we read these words of Pope Pius XII, well, it's not just fitting, it's a condition. He says, "In order that favors in greater abundance may flow on all Christians from the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, let the faithful see to it that to this devotion the Immaculate Heart of the Mother of God is closely joined." The two have to go together. Not just one or the other, but both have to come together in order for that abundance of graces to flow down upon us. And why? Well, it's this brother Philip that answers the question in a very, in a concise manner. He says, you know, he asks himself precisely that question. Well, how does Our Lady facilitate, you know, make our devotion to the Sacred Heart more authentic, more according to the Sacred Heart? Well, he says, what relations existed between Mary and the Heart of Jesus? One, no one has entered so far into that sanctuary of love and mercy as she. No one has known the Sacred Heart of our Lord as well as Our Lady. No creature other than herself penetrated the mysteries of the Heart of Jesus as much as she. Two, she adored and blessed it, and more than any other creature, because she did it, and because she was without sin. Her love for God was purer than that of any other creature. Three, she loved it, and with what love! She shared in all its sentiments. Her maternal heart had the most perfect conformity with it. The will of our Lord was the will of our Lady, and the heart is the symbol of the will. So she, more than anyone else, was united to that heart. Mediatrix between Jesus and us, she has full access to this Sacred Heart and draws from it abundant treasures of grace for us. Therefore, in union with Mary, let us study the Heart of Jesus. Let us consecrate ourselves to its glory and devote ourselves to its worship. Let us love it with all our strength. Let us conform our hearts to that adorable model, and let us deplore that its love is so little known, and offer to it in compensation the love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our love for our Lord is but of little value, you know, in and of itself, strictly speaking. It's a meager recompense, you know, our reparation to our Lord. You know, and if we want to make true reparation to our Lord, if we want to love Him as He deserves, let us, so to speak, borrow the Immaculate Heart of Mary and love Him with her Immaculate Heart. So let's just conclude then with a prayer from this little booklet that Brother Philip makes, and let's make it our own. He says, O God of mercy, who for the salvation of sinners have formed in the Immaculate Heart of the glorious Virgin Mary sentiments of kindness and pity towards us, conformable to those of the adorable heart of thy Son, grant through the intercession of our Blessed Mother and by the merits of her most loving heart that we may be found conformable to the heart of Jesus and worthy of the sovereign good throughout eternity. So our devotion to the Sacred Heart, if it is to bear fruit, it must be united to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We make this prayer with Brother Philip, with the Church, with all the popes, and we pray that in that way we may make due reparation to our Lord whose heart asks us to love Him above all other things. Praised be Jesus and Mary.